In the Gospel reading today, St. John the Baptist sends two of his disciples to ask our blessed Lord if he is the one who is to come. So we know that John the Baptist had been given a grace by the Lord to be able to know that it was the time for the coming of the Messiah. Certainly the people knew that as well. They knew well the prophecy of Daniel, and ultimately the prophecy of Jeremiah, the one that Daniel was trying to figure out, and God made clear how long it was going to be, the 70 weeks of years. So it had been 490 years, and they knew that it was time, as we are even told in the Gospels. We hear it said that it was a time of expectation. So the people were expecting the Messiah. They were looking for him. But then the Lord answers by pointing out all of the things that are written ultimately in the prophet Isaiah. There are obviously other places as well, but Isaiah is the one that lays it out most clearly. So he talks about the blind being able to see and the deaf being able to hear and the lame being able to walk, all these things that would be fulfilled in the Messiah. But then he turns to the people. So after John's disciples go back to be able to say, here's what he said, he turns then to the people and asks them about John the Baptist. What did you go out into the desert to see? That becomes the great question. Because, remember, they didn't have any of the things like we've got, radios and TVs and computers and so on. So here's somebody who's out in the desert preaching. This is a little different. This is kind of interesting. This is cool. We can go out there. I mean, it wasn't an easy journey to get there, obviously, but nonetheless, it was something different that might catch somebody's interest. And so the Lord asked them, what was your reason? What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a prophet? Did you go out to see someone who was dressed in soft clothes? What were you looking for? But then the Lord makes it very clear for the people. He says, this is the messenger who is to come. That goes back to the third chapter of the book of the prophet Malachi. And so the people understood that very well. And in fact, just a few verses past that in Malachi is where we hear about Elijah, who is going to come before the day of the Lord. So the people were expecting that Elijah was going to come. The Lord is pointing out to them, this is who you went out to see. And in case they had missed the point at all, which I don't think most of them did, you have to remember, where was Elijah taken up into heaven? Just beyond the Jordan River. Where was John the Baptist? Just beyond the Jordan River. What was it that Elijah was clothed in? The hairy mantle. What did John the Baptist wear? The camel skin clothes. Just the description is exactly the same. But there's also another aspect to this that the people would not have missed either. If you remember from the time of the Exodus, the people came out of Egypt, and finally after those 40 years of wandering in the desert, they finally came into the promised land. And they came into the promised land by crossing the Jordan River at Jericho. Where once again was John the Baptist? Just across the Jordan River, right by Jericho. And so it is putting all of these pieces together. This is why he's more than just a prophet. He's not just simply there as the prophets of the Old Testament were to be able to tell the people what was going to happen. He was the one that God has now sent to prepare the people. So he is Elijah, not the physical, historical person of Elijah. He'll return before the end of the world, but the one who is in the spirit of Elijah, just as Elisha was. So he was there for a specific purpose, and it was to prepare the hearts of the people. But it was also, as the church gives us this first reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, also something for the Jewish people to recognize as well as the Gentiles. And therefore, it's for all of us. So for the Jewish people, St. Paul tells us that Jesus came to be able to confirm the truth and show the fidelity of God. What does that mean? It means that God had made certain promises and everything has been fulfilled. So for the Jewish people who knew their scriptures well, they would be able to see in John the Baptist all these points that Jesus has made, and they will be able to see in our blessed Lord all of the things that the prophets had foretold, all the way from Moses, all the way through Malachi, which would be the last book in the Jewish Bible. They can see it all. God is faithful. God has fulfilled his promises. But we are told it is also for the Gentiles who would not have known the sacred scriptures. And for the Gentiles, it is to be able to proclaim the mercy of God. So for the Jewish people to see the truth, for the Gentiles to receive God's mercy. Now, 2,000 years later, for us, it is both. To be able to recognize the truth. After all, as we celebrate this time of Advent, which means the coming to come, the Lord is coming. So how would we know who the real Messiah was? After all, we read in the Acts of the Apostles that there were several people that had been raised up right around that time that people thought were the Messiah. But none of them could say that through them the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk. Oh, they might have been some charismatic personality that people gathered around, but they didn't fulfill what Scripture said regarding the Messiah. And so we should be able to know the Scriptures well enough to look at it and say, this is all fulfilled in only one person in history. It is the Lord. And we also can look at it and recognize the mercy of God. That yes, God is faithful, and yes, God has fulfilled his promises, but what is the fidelity and the promise of God? It's his mercy. It's the forgiveness of sin. It's the salvation of our souls. It's everlasting life. It is to be able to know the love of God, because that's exactly what we see in the person of Jesus. The love of God. And so it's not just the truth, because you can separate the truth from love. We all know you can beat somebody over the head with the truth. What good is that going to do? So the Lord didn't just simply come to say, look, this is the truth. Would you get it through your thick skull? No, that's not what he did at all. He came to be able, as he himself told us, to fulfill the law and the prophets. To be able to show the people that this is the truth. This is what God has told you is going to happen. And here it is happening right before your eyes. I am the one. But then it is the love of God in a form that the people could never grasp. They could never have even hoped for. So to be able to see how God was fulfilling everything was something that came as a total surprise to them, that God would become one of us, who, by reading the Old Testament, would ever figure that out just on the surface. It's there. We can look back at it and say, oh, well, look, it says right here. But if you didn't know as you were looking forward, would you be able to look at the Old Testament and say, oh, God said that the Son of God is going to become human, and he's going to live his life, and he's going to die for us, and he will save our souls. No, they knew the Messiah was coming, but they didn't understand the Messiah was actually going to be the Son of God, because remember, the Jewish people didn't believe in the Son of God. They only believed in God, not in three persons of God, but just in one. So this was something they could not understand. And so as our Lord is pointing out all of these points of the fulfillment, he is pointing to a mystery. not just the mystery of the incarnation, not even just to the mystery of our salvation, but to the mystery into which every last one of us to proclaim the mercy of God has been invited. And that is the mystery of the love of God, a love which is so far beyond what we can ever even begin to grasp that it truly is a mystery. It is not something we can understand. Yes, we can see part of it, but we can never grasp it all. And so again, then the question comes back to us, and perhaps even to put it more pointedly, what did you come here today to see? Why did you come here? Because it's the same exact mystery. We are here because God is faithful, because God is true, because He has demonstrated that fidelity, and He has sent His Son to us. But we are here also because God is merciful, because in His mercy He has called each one of us to be a member of His Son, not just to be saved by His Son, to be incorporated into the very person of His Son, so that you and I can become the children of God, share in the divine nature, share in the divine life, and be heirs to eternal life. Once again, we look at that and recognize this is beyond anything that we ever could have hoped for. That while we could look at it and say, yes, the Messiah is going to come and the Messiah is going to save us, that would have been more than we could ask for anyway. But God, who is infinitely beyond anything that we could ever hope for, is showing us how much He loves us, showing us His mercy so that we can glorify that mercy. And so why are we here today? Because the Son of God is here today. Because He is giving Himself to us in a way that is even more humble and more loving than what He was 2,000 years ago. He came with a humanity that He had received from His mother to be able to preach the good news to the people and to show the mercy and the truth of God. That, as I said a minute ago, is already beyond what we could have ever imagined or hoped for. But now He gives Himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. Truly present in the Eucharist, He now is not only present among us, He is not only the truth of God among us and the love and the mercy of God among us, He loves us so much that He gives Himself to us so we can receive Him into our own self, so that we can actually be united with Him. It's not just, oh yeah, He's the Messiah from 2,000 years ago and He saved us and we can keep all that at an arm's distance. No, no, no. He wasn't content with that. He was going to go way beyond that. And so if, as St. Paul tells us, that all of these things are there so that we can have hope, so that we can glorify God for His mercy, just look at what it is that He has done and continues to do. You see, one of the problems that as Catholics we face is that because we can do this week after week after week, and for many of us day after day after day, we just take it for granted sometimes. Maybe we just go through the motions because, oh yeah, this is the same thing we do week after week. And of course, my favorite one is when people say, oh, I don't get anything out of going to Mass. It's so boring. It's always the same. It is. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is pure love. He is pure mercy. He is pure truth. And if we don't get anything out of it, it's because we're not putting anything into it. So that's where, again, it comes back to the question, why are you here? What did you come here to see? That's the challenge that Jesus is making, not only for the people to say, well, we went out to see John the Baptist, we went out to see the prophet, we went out to hear what he was saying. It's like, no, it's not just that. It's to be able to change our lives. It's to be able to put ourselves into this. John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance. Something had to happen in the people's hearts before they would be able to receive what God was giving. The same has to happen with us. Something has to change within before we can fully receive. And so that's what the church is asking us to look at. The fullness of truth and the fullness of love and the fullness of mercy is right here. And all of that is going to be literally entering into your person. So you don't just get anything out of Mass. You literally get everything when you come to Mass. You receive Him who is all in all, as Scripture says of Him. So we're not just here to hear the Word of God. We're not just here to be able to know that God is with us. We're here to unite ourselves with God, to worship Him, to love Him, and to receive His love and glorify for Him for His mercy. That is the hope that St. Paul is talking about. And that's where the peace and the patience and all the things that St. Paul was talking about come from. So we need to pray. Need to pray that just as the people were challenged 2,000 years ago to look at why they made that arduous journey to be able to see John the Baptist, we need now to open our hearts and our minds to be able to recognize at a much deeper level the truth that we already know. We all know Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. We all know that we're incorporated into Him in baptism. We all know that we're children of God. And how many of us just let that kind of roll off our back, go in one ear and out the other, take it for granted? Yeah, it's always there. It's always the same. He's always the same. We're not. If we open our hearts, we can be changed and we can become more like Him. That's why we're here, to worship God, to be united with God, and to glorify God for His mercy.